Hello, my name is Mike Elliott out of Jacksonville, Florida. It brings me great pleasure to teach to you today the Pass Now series of life insurance basics. Now there's many different kinds of insurance, health, property, you've probably even heard of cell phone insurance, but today I'm going to teach you about life insurance and how that works. You see, we all wake up in this human world full of beautiful life, but as beautiful and wondrous as it is, there are consequences to life called death. It's a biological fact that we will all someday die, and none of us know how or when that will happen, which gives an inherent risk to everyday life known as pure risk. Now, life insurance will provide for our families financially when we are gone from this earth and unable to do so ourselves. Think of life insurance as an answer to a very difficult problem. How will your family survive financially when you die? The answer, life insurance proceeds. Now, when we talk about risk in insurance terms, risk is defined as the uncertainty of a financial loss. There are two types of risk, pure and speculative, and only pure risk is insurable. By purchasing insurance, you actually transfer the financial risk left behind after your passing. Now, by purchasing insurance, you actually transfer that financial risk that your families will face to the insurance company. And this works by a concept called the law of large numbers. Now, what the law of large numbers shows is that the predicted losses of a group will be increasingly more accurate the more people there are insured. Now, there's some key terms to know here. The insurance contract is actually a two-party contract between the policy owner and the insurer. But as you can see, there's other players at this party to know about. Now, the policy owner is the person who owns the policy, must pay the premiums, and also chooses the beneficiary. The insured, with an ED, that's the person whose life the policy covers. Now, this may or may not be the same person as the policy owner, and if different than the policy owner, the insured must approve that coverage. Then there's the insurer, with an ER, that is the insurance company. The insurer issues the policy and pays the death benefit to the beneficiary upon the death of the insured. And then, of course, the beneficiary. The beneficiary is the person who receives those death proceeds. Now, what those proceeds actually do is it creates an immediate estate for that beneficiary. Now, an estate is simply the net worth of a person, the things that you own minus the things that you owe. And that estate would then pay for the daily expenses and the bills left behind for your family after your death. Other key terms to know. When we talk about premiums, I want you to understand that there is money that goes into a plan and there's money that comes from a plan. The premiums are those monies that go into a plan. That's the monies that the policy owner pays to the insurer. The proceeds are the monies that come out of the plan. That is the money that the insurer pays to the beneficiary upon the insured's death. Now, it's important to know here that there are synonyms for proceeds. They can also be called death benefit, coverage, face amount, or insurance amount. But don't be fooled. They all mean the same thing. Also of note here, the proceeds are actually passed to the beneficiary tax-free, meaning the IRS does not apply income taxes to those monies, which I think is pretty cool. Now, in sum, here's how life insurance actually works. The policy owner pays premiums to the insurance company, the insurer. The insurer issues the policy and pays those death proceeds upon the death of the insured. They pay those to the beneficiary, and the beneficiary may be an individual, such as a spouse or children, mother or brother, may also be an entity, such as a charity or a trust. Now, insurance producers. That is also known as field underwriters or agents. Again, all means the same thing. Agents sell insurance on behalf of their insurance company. However, they have an ethical responsibility to do what's right for their clients at all times. They must be licensed in the state that they produce, and they must also be appointed by an authorized insurance company. Very important to know that. Now that you've learned the basics of life insurance, let's get into some more detailed concepts. I'm Mike Elliott from Jacksonville, Florida, and next we're going to talk about underwriting. Now, in order to explain underwriting, I'm actually going to walk you through the process of selling and delivering a policy to your first client. In this section, you'll get to learn firsthand how the underwriting process works, including your role as field underwriter. Now, in order to begin this process, you solicit your client. And soliciting simply means an offer to sell a policy. You find that client, you give them a sales presentation on the financial product that fits their need. Now, as an agent, as we discussed earlier, you're also known as a field underwriter. Do not confuse this with the company's underwriter. As field underwriter, you will, along with that applicant, fill out an application, completing all three parts of the application, including general information, such as name and address, medical information, and the agent's report. And the agent's report is simply your observation of the client and your knowledge of them. Now, when you finish that application, you collect the premium and then forward that application and premium onto the company, which is when then the company underwriters will get that. The company underwriters simply have the job of evaluating and determining whether or not an applicant is insurable. Now, after they determine whether or not that applicant is insurable, they will give them one of the following ratings. If they give them the preferred rating, that means that they are a better than average health risk, and they will be covered at a reduced premium rate. They can give them a standard rating, which means they are of average health, and they will pay the standard premium rate. There's also substandard, which means they are a little bit worse than average health risk, but they will still be covered, but they will pay a higher premium rate. And then there is declined, which means they are too much of a risk, and they will not be covered. Now, as long as a rating of anything other than declined is given, then the policy is therefore issued, and then you, the agent, will deliver it to your client. Now, I hope this kind of gives you a good understanding of how the sales process and the underwriting process works. Welcome to Pass Now. I'm Mike Elliott from Jacksonville, Florida, and now let's discuss different types of life insurance policies. Now, there are two basic types of life insurance policies: term and whole life. And we're going to talk about each. Now, when we look at term insurance, term is also called temporary insurance. It's for a specified period of time. It has no cash value, and it can usually be renewed or converted. Now, term insurance is also known as pure protection because it provides the policy owner with the most amount of protection for the least amount of dollars. Different types of term: there's level term, increasing term, and decreasing term. And these different types are classified by what happens to the coverage amount over that period of time. Let's have a look. With level term insurance, you're going to get a face amount that stays level for the entire period. Here you can see this is from age 35 to 45, so a 10-year term policy, which will provide $50,000 of coverage for the entire 10 years, level term. Also notice the premiums are level. Now, we compare that to the increasing term. You can see here that the face amount starts low and then increases gradually over the course of the term. Again, a 10-year term, which will then increase to the $50,000 by the end of the 10 years. Also, level premiums. Decreasing term, just the opposite. Starts at $50,000 of coverage, decreases over the term, again 10 years. Now, this would typically be used for a mortgage or something that also decreases at the same time. Important to note, even though the coverage changed in each one of those kind of terms, the premiums still stayed level on each. Now, compare that to whole life insurance. Whole life insurance is also called permanent insurance. It provides protection until death or age 100. When a policy owner pays premiums for a whole life policy, they pay for two things. They pay for that coverage, and they also pay for a savings element called cash value. They will get level premiums with this insurance, and if the insured dies before the age 100, the beneficiary will get the coverage. If that same insured does not die and instead reaches age 100, that insured, not the beneficiary, will receive the cash value. Let's have a look at how that works. Here is the whole life with your protection of $50,000. This client started at age 25, so again, this policy will give them protection until death or age 100. But here's what else the whole life has. It has the guaranteed cash value. Now, cash value typically doesn't begin until the third year of the policy, but then gradually increases so that it should equal the same as the face amount at age 100. Whole life insurance policies are classified by how the policy owner pays the premiums. What I mean by that, any words that come before whole life simply refers to how they pay the premiums. So a straight life, whole life policy means that the policy owner pays level premiums every single year until death or age 100. Compare that to the limited pay policy. A limited pay policy means that the policy owner will pay their premiums in a limited period of time, but still retain that permanent coverage until death or age 100. A good example of limited pay would be a 20-pay whole life policy. That means that that policy owner will pay their premiums for 20 years. And then after that 20 years, they retain the coverage of that policy, again, until death or age 100. A single pay policy simply is a lump sum payment, one time single premium payment, and then again coverage till death or age 100. Now to recap, term insurance is temporary insurance, provides the largest amount of protection for the lowest amount of dollars. And then whole life is called permanent insurance. It provides coverage until death or age 100 and will cost a little bit more in premiums as compared to term. So taking that into account, it's pretty easy to understand the differences in moving forward and how to learn about these policies. Hello, and thanks for joining me for Pass Now Insurance Basics. My name is Mike Elliott from Jacksonville, Florida. We're now going to talk about policy provisions, options, and riders. And I want you to know this is the heftiest chapter that you will study through this material. You will receive the most amount of questions on your state exam from this chapter alone, the big money chapter. So let's have a look. When we talk about provisions, provisions are clauses that are contained within a life insurance policy that are there and are designed to protect the policy owner. When you're studying these provisions and learning about them, I want you to ask yourself, how does this protect the policy owner? That will help you understand each individual provision. Then there's options. Options are choices on how money will be distributed at different times in different policies. And then we'll talk about riders. And riders are additions to a policy. They customize a policy, and we'll look at exactly how that works. Now, there's many different provisions typically in any one policy, but today we're going to focus on two. We're going to learn about the free look provision and the grace period provision. Now, the free look period provision, what that does is that provides a new policy owner a period of time in which to own, inspect, and if dissatisfied, return that policy for a full refund. This example here shows 5/1, the policy was delivered. That, by the way, is when the free look period begins. And then 10 days later is when that free look period ends. Anytime within that 10 days, that policy owner can return that policy for a full refund. Now, this example shows a 10-day period, which most states are. However, there are some exceptions to the rule. So be sure to consult your study manual in your state to find the exact free look period in your state. The grace period provision. The grace period provision actually provides a policy owner a period of time in which to pay their premiums and not lose their coverage. For instance, if the premium is due on this policy 11/1/2011, the grace period will extend 30 to 31 days, in this case to the end of the month, 11/30/2011. So that gives that policy owner that amount of time to pay that premium and not lose any coverage. You can see, of course, how this would help. It gives that policy owner a sufficient amount of time to pay that premium without any lapse in coverage. Next, let's look at options. Now, options, as we said, are choices on how money will be distributed in a policy. There are many different options, but today, in particular, we're going to learn about one option called settlement options. Now, settlement options, in particular, are the options that your beneficiary will receive options that they can make on how to receive those death proceeds. The most common is cash payment lump sum. That means they get one check for the entire balance of those proceeds. And as we spoke about, the proceeds are not taxable to the beneficiary. The coolest thing about life insurance, I believe, a huge benefit to the beneficiary. Another option that beneficiary can choose, however, is something called life income. Now, life income will take that same amount of proceeds and it will pay that beneficiary a guaranteed installment for as long as they live. It's income that they cannot outlive. Now, should that beneficiary die before the entire amount of proceeds are distributed in this way, then the remainder of that balance is retained by the insurance company. However, on the flip side of the coin, if that same beneficiary lives longer than expected and outlives the balance of that proceeds, then they will actually still continue to get paid above and beyond the balance. Now, riders, switching over to riders, again, riders customize a policy. It adds extra features or privileges to that policy, but of course, it's also going to cost a little something extra. Think of riders like this. When you go out and you order a steak dinner, let's say, you'll probably order a side item. That side item will enhance that meal, but it also costs a little extra. That's a rider. The rider we're going to look at today is called Waiver of Premium Rider. The Waiver of Premium Rider protects a policy owner from disability. If a policy owner becomes totally disabled, he will then have his premiums waived due to this rider. Now, if and when he or she comes off of disability, they will then pick up paying their premiums once again without anything owed during that period of disability. The last thing we want to talk about here in this section is exclusions. Now, typical exclusions are commonly hazardous occupations, activities, or hobbies. Certain occupations, activities, or hobbies are riskier than others. For that reason, insurance companies will try to protect themselves from certain types of losses, and they're called exclusions. Now, exclusions will be listed specifically in each policy, and remember, each policy is different. But the most common exclusions are war, also private aviation, or death from the commission of a felony. Now, as you study this material and you learn about policy provisions, options, riders, and exclusions, do remember that they are all there for very specific, different reasons, and they all perform a very certain function. Hi, I'm Mike Elliott from Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to Pass Now Insurance Basics. We're now going to talk about annuities. Now, when you look forward to retirement, you probably look forward to the opportunity to not work and instead enjoy your retired life. However, you may not have enough money in your savings account to provide enough income for the rest of your life. That is why you would buy an annuity, because it is a way to save money that will provide an income for the rest of your life. So an annuity is saving for retirement. It actually converts a large sum of money into a smaller series of payments that last for your entire life. This is how an annuity works. The annuity owner pays premiums into the annuity. At some point in the future, that annuity will then turn around and pay an income stream to what's called the annuitant. Very simply put, the pay-in period is called the accumulation period. When that annuity starts to pay out the income stream to the annuitant, that happens at annuitization. Now, there's two basic types of annuities, an immediate and a deferred annuity. Let's take a look at both. With an immediate annuity, that's typically purchased with a single lump sum premium, and it's specifically defined by the fact that that income stream starts being paid to the annuitant within 12 months or 1 year, as opposed to a deferred annuity. A deferred annuity can be purchased with either that same lump sum premium, or it can be purchased with a periodic premium over a period of time, but the distinguishing characteristic of a deferred annuity is that the income stream does not start to the annuitant until 1 year or any time thereafter. Now, it's important to understand, life insurance creates an estate as opposed to an annuity which liquidates an estate. They are both issued and sold by insurance companies, but they both serve their own purposes.
Hello, I'm Keonti Tinsley from Home Office, and welcome to Pass Now's Study and Test Taking Tips. You're going to learn some great resources and ways you can use those resources in preparing to pass the state exam. You're going to attend class, whether live or online, study using all available resources, apply these test taking tips, pass your state exam, and then start building your business. We at Primerica want you to build a big business, and this is the first step to getting licensed. Let's look at some study tips. You want to prepare for your test starting on the first day of class. Your state exam outline or personalized study plan, also known as the PSP, to indicate areas where you need extra focus or spend additional study time. If you're in a live classroom setting, ask your coach questions as often as needed. Set a study schedule that works best for you and when you are most alert. Find a well-lit, quiet area to help you focus during your study time. Anytime you study for an hour or longer, take a 10 to 15 minute study break. You want to practice using multiple choice exams to identify areas that you need to study. Understanding basic definitions greatly increases your chance, since your state exam will probably cover a large percent of insurance terms you have learned. You have a lot of resources available to help you prepare for your exam. All your resources are available on Primerica Online, except for your student manual with the personalized study plan, located in the back of your manual. If you attend a live class, you will get your manual there. After class, make sure you go to PassNow Exam Simulator to take a practice test and focus on those areas you need to study. Your goal is to go green and to continue using your resources until it's time to take the state exam. Those resources on the PassNow Simulator include on-demand life review videos, your flashcards, key facts on testable concepts, and study by topic. More study resources include your exam prep materials located on POL and the live review videos. These videos are referenced on your PSP. You also have printable flashcards and test taking tips videos. Let's talk about test taking myths. The correct answer is always C. That is false. The longer answer is always the right or wrong answer. Again, that is a myth. It's a multiple guessed test. While in every multiple choice question you see, you will have four possible answers, A, B, C, or D. I wouldn't consider this a multiple guessed test. Instead, use your resources and select the best possible answer. Answers can be found throughout the exam. Again, it's a myth. Do not rely on that. Exam providers review their exams to prevent that from occurring. Let's look at the reality. The reality is, you do not need a perfect score. In fact, you only need a passing score. The more practice questions you do while studying increases your chance to pass your exam. The topics for your exam questions are covered in your study materials, which include your exam content outline and your personalized study plan. Now for some good tips before the exam. Get a good night's sleep and make sure you eat before the exam. Relax, it's just an exam. You have studied and prepared for the exam. Arrive 30 minutes early to sign in and do not bring any study materials with you inside the exam center. Do use the test tutorial. This will explain how to navigate the test and the proper way to find the right answer. If the test center provides scratch paper, go ahead and use it to write your acronyms, such as LID, for level, increasing, and decreasing term, to help you recall these terms while taking the exam. Remember not to write on it until after the exam has started. And do mark the questions that you want to review. You will mark the question if you feel uncertain about the answer. And when you come back to that question at the end, do not change it unless you're absolutely sure it needs to be changed. Always read and reread the question carefully. You can eliminate any answers that you know are incorrect. It's a great method to select the right answer. Find the trigger word in the question and select the most likely answer. This means try to pinpoint a keyword or phrase that matches with one of the answer choices. Don't let unfamiliar terms distract you or throw you off. If you didn't study the terms, most likely it's the wrong answer. And go with your first response. Most often than not, it's the right answer. There are four types of multiple choice questions that you will see at the state exam. A direct question is a definition question that usually starts with what, when, which, or how. Complete the sentence is still a basic definition, even though the answer choices are long sentences. Absolute questions require you to select true or false statements from the four answer options. And finally, application questions explain a situation or event that you provide a solution for by choosing the correct answer. Let's take a look at these questions. A direct question is really a basic definition question. When must insurable interest exist? A, at the time of loss. B, when the policy is delivered. C, at the time of application. Or D, convertible term. C, insurable interest must exist at the time of application, not any later time. Complete the sentence is a fill-in-the-blank type of question. If a primary beneficiary predeceases an insured, the individuals to whom the proceeds are paid are referred to as. Again, if you can answer the question without reading the answer first, that will give you the best chance to find the correct answer. A, contingent beneficiaries. If a primary beneficiary dies before the insured, then the proceeds will go to the contingent beneficiary. Incorrect or false are accept questions. The accept words include the following: accept, not correct, only, not, and does not. There are three true and one false answer choice. You want to find the answer choice that's false. Let's review. With an absolute question, the answer is true unless the question has the except, then you're looking for the answer that is false. All of the following are true about term insurance except: A, term insurance is temporary insurance. B, there's no cash value when a term policy expires. C, term insurance is one of the least expensive form of protection. And D, term insurance has a higher premium per thousand when compared to the whole life insurance. The answer is D, term insurance has a higher premium per $1,000 when compared to whole life insurance. Now, the other type of absolute word question is the true or correct question. This question will commonly have always, only, must, and every. These are the cues to find the answer that is true. Let's look at this question. It has the cue word correct in the sentence. With this absolute question, the answer is true. Which of the following statement is correct regarding revocable beneficiaries? Is it A, B, C, or D? D is the true answer. Let's look at an application question. This question is an event, situation, or a scenario. Apply the general facts to the question. Think of a scenario as, if this happens, then what is the outcome? Let's review. A retired person purchased an annuity for $90,000. 1 month later, he starts to receive payments. What type of annuity does he have? If a policy owner starts to receive payment within the same year of purchase, it is an immediate annuity. So the answer is A. Remember to relax, study your resources, and pass the state exam. All of this is doable. Thank you for joining me to review your test-taking tips.